This is 10 Seconds to Happy, where a little knowledge can make a really big difference, and so can a few seconds. And welcome back, everyone. This is the long-anticipated broadcast of Why We Do What We Do. After this podcast, you will never see your behavior the same again. So let's get started. When we were growing up, everything we experienced was molding and shaping our likes, dislikes, what we deemed pleasurable and not so pleasurable, for better or for worse. How that molding took place is one of the most amazing new discoveries neuroscience has revealed in the last 5 years. Neuroscience have speculated, hypothesized, guessed, and debated for decades over why humans do what they do. But finally, they are beginning to map it out and shine some light into this brilliant 3-pound mass we call our brain. They know more about what motivates us, deflates us, and scares us than ever before. Today, I'm going to share some of this really cool stuff with you in the hope that you will find some answers to your own patterns of thought, behavior, and overreactions. This will be a simplified explanation of what is going on in your brain, leaving the details of the hows and the whys for the scientist. Feel free to Google whatever you want more info on, or write me and I will steer you in the right direction. I have also written a book compiling much of this research and how to use it to rewire your brain for happiness, peace, and to alleviate stress. And a workbook is included, and it will be out later this year, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Now, for thousands of years, every situation, physical, emotional, and social, has been fueled, directed, and regulated by the drug effect we were seeking. What drugs? From our brain's own chemical pharmacy. For this broadcast, I'm only going to cover three of these neurotransmitters. These are chemical messengers called dopamine, oxytocin, and serotonin. My own acronym is DOS, D-O-S. When your brain experiences any of these wonderful natural highs, it is reassured that we now have a better chance at surviving. So we are programmed to seek out pleasure and be on the lookout for threats. However, thousands of years ago, our lives were in danger every day from either being eaten or not having enough to eat. So our brain and an area in there called the amygdala became obsessed with finding danger lurking in every corner and placed much less emphasis on the pleasures, which then reduced those chemicals, making you feel really miserable. We call it depression, a bad mood, stress, or unhappiness. That miserable feeling was supposed to motivate you to make changes quickly. Unfortunately, this obsession with finding problems and ignoring most pleasure is how we are still programmed today, leaving us to live right on the precipice of feeling just okay or falling into the dark pit of distress. So how does that undercurrent of negativity affect our behavior today? It's simple. All of our decisions, one moment to the next, are all based on one question. What will cause me the least amount of discomfort or the most pleasure? In other words, what chemical feeling do I want next, or what chemical feeling would I like alleviated next? Now, just let me pause for a moment. Be sure to listen to the whole podcast series on 10 Seconds to Happy, where I break down how this amygdala, our alarm bell, is keeping us all from happiness and how to override it. So the effects of these three neurochemicals are the driving force behind your decisions and behaviors. See, dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin drive our behavior either towards something or away. Each of these give us a unique emotional sensation, and each of us tend to have a favorite feeling we might pursue more than others. See if you can identify with the behavior described below to see what neurochemical might be your favorite. Keep in mind, these are not absolutes, these are just biases. Like, everyone likes to have money, but not everyone is driven by it. So let's start with dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that helps control the brain's reward and pleasure centers. It is the passion behind love and the high of cocaine. It's the voice in your head that yells, yeah, 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 when you think about a bowl of ice cream or sex. It pushes you to go get a reward. People with low dopamine activity may be more prone to addiction or to really like risks. We call them adrenaline junkies. More dopamine, greater competitiveness, aggression, and a lack of impulse control. Do you know what dopamine feels like? I know you do. Dopamine loves anything that is new. A new restaurant, a new girlfriend or boyfriend, visiting new places, and learning new things. It loves winning. Did you ever buy a lottery ticket? Can you recall the slight buzz you feel when you are buying a ticket? Everyone does. Otherwise, you would never buy it. Dopamine is there when falling in love or even at the prospect of love. Of course, if you ever did cocaine, you get it. However, it won't always feel the same. For example, being at a stadium having your team win will feel differently than falling in love. Okay, so if you're biased toward really loving dopamine, you will love a challenge, you will be willing to push yourself to achieve goals. You're not the kind of person who will walk away from a quarrel or a fight. Now, the effects of neurotransmitters are temporary, and that's a good thing, because otherwise you would never do another thing. You would sit on a park bench with a dopey grin on your face for the rest of your life, or at least until someone committed you. But instead, you take on new challenges and learn new things to improve your life, all because you want to feel that amazing feeling of dopamine. However, humans are not happy when that buzz quiets down. So when you buy that new car and a couple of weeks later, the newness seems to be wearing off, you will look for something new to buy. A less expensive way to get a dopamine high is listening to live music or blasting your favorite tunes. If you work out, you know what I mean. Nothing can re-energize your workout like music. And you thought people wearing earbuds just to be antisocial. No, not at all. When you need to motivate yourself to accomplish something, you will try to grab some dopamine by maybe telling yourself how good you will feel after. But you can also use dopamine to stop a feeling. For example, anytime you have a project you're dreading, the thought of finishing it might alleviate the anxiety, so you'll stop putting it off. A person trying to learn the piano might use the thought of playing in front of people to motivate them to practice. Think back to a time when you needed to motivate yourself and see if you can remember what you told yourself. Dopamine is the excitement, the buzz you feel right before engaging in sex, eating, sports, or even having a beer. Dopamine is actually released at the thought of having a beer or at the thought of ice cream. And it's that feeling that causes us to chase those things. This is the struggle addicts and dieters face. Now, if you walk into a mall or a store or even a street fair, your mind will be filled with dopamine, seeing new shapes, colors, and possible items for you to make your life better. The next time you walk around a home improvement store, see if you start to feel a buzz even at the thought of adding or changing anything in your home, even if you're only there to buy a light bulb. That buzz tells us that providing something for our life will keep us alive, even when the product is irrational, like walking into a surf shop and wanting to buy a really cool surfboard, even when you don't surf, or wanting to own a beautiful piano, even though you don't play. See, sometimes part of the excitement is also suddenly joining a new culture. It's why people will never just buy a motorcycle. They have to have all the leather accessories and doodads. It's the feeling of identifying with a whole new group and that sense of belonging that drives them. Now, everyone enjoys a little dopamine excitement in their lives. Hence, the contagious way people will react when there is a threat of a storm. Have you ever felt like there was something wrong with you? When upon hearing of a severe storm coming, instead of feeling dread, you actually felt a little excited? Now, I'm excluding those people in the Midwest who have to deal with horrific storms. I'm pretty sure panic is their first feeling. But when a weatherman says that it might just pass by, do you jump for joy or do you sense a little deflation? What is that? That's the dopamine receding because you won't need it if the storm passes. This excitement is what sends moms of people to the store to buy the last bit of bread and milk. All the community chatter leaves everyone abuzz with oxytocin as everyone is feeling more connected and unified, and then followed by serotonin as you feel safer and more secure because you're battening down the hatches. Remember, your brain rewards you anytime you take steps to preserve your life. And this brings us now to the number one activity. Nothing ensures our survival like it, and nothing feels as amazing. And that is falling in love. Once someone is well in the throes of mad love, they will be hitting the trifecta with all three neurochemicals flooding their brain, making them often even a bit inept at taking care of ordinary business. Nothing matters but being with that person. Now, I hate to demystify love, but that is all it is. A release of neurochemicals that together are so mind-blowing and addicting, we can't stand to be without them even for a day. Hence, the pain of a breakup can be too much for some to bear. Please remember that this withdrawal is real, but it's temporary. It's a chemical imbalance, and it's not your life ending. Hang in there, you will bounce back. So, in summary, if you feel more driven by dopamine, you might be serious about video games, fall in love often, love taking risks, be tempted toward illegal activities, gamble, and drive like Dale Earnhardt. Often you find lots of these people working in FEMA and the Red Cross. Dopamine's message is a simple one. It confirms you are amazing and can take on the world. If dopamine were a song, it would be the theme to Rocky. Now, for a complete list of all these examples, especially the trifecta ones, please get my book, 10 Seconds to Happy. Next is serotonin. It is often thought of as our happy hormone, because without it, you would be seriously depressed. Serotonin wants us to feel really great about ourselves. When someone makes you feel good, like after your boss giving you some high praise, you will notice that you're filled with a spirit of cooperation and generosity. Have you ever noticed your own mood before leaving on vacation? Did you notice that you were more patient or cooperative? That is from your dopamine and serotonin. You almost can't help but be nice to everyone. Kind of makes you wonder if we started out each day already flooded with serotonin, how much more we would take care of others. Maybe eventually, evolution will rewire us to receive our doses of serotonin only when we put others before ourselves. You know, one study done years ago pointed out that doing acts of kindness is one of the top things that make people happy. We are wired for that. Of course, not everyone wants to share that warm, kind feeling with those around them. Hence, there are really nice people in the world and jerks that we wish lived on an island somewhere far, far away. In general, we help, rescue, sacrifice, all because of how it makes us feel. Now, flattery has its roots in serotonin, and although it's a rather crude way of stimulating a person's serotonin, even when aware, some people can't resist it, making everyone around them feel kind of sick. Okay, serotonin is active in our lives right from childhood. Whether or not you get picked for the team or included in a group, all release serotonin. It's why cliques and peer pressure are so powerful. The pursuit of being cool even has its roots in serotonin. Now, as adults, it can cause us to crave comfort foods or enjoy the sound of thunder at night. The reason is the thunder makes us feel safe and secure in our home. Now, feeling safe and secure, even socially, is imperative because anytime you don't, you're going to be prone to brag, gossip, name drop, and maybe even make a joke at someone else's expense. People who are really prone to serotonin often collect friends like trophies. And the higher status that friend has, the happier they will be. They will choose a trophy wife or trophy husband because it makes a statement about who they are. They love owning what other people want, and they can be obsessed with getting respect. I know a lot of adults who place a premium on respect, like it's some sophisticated reason to be upset when you aren't treated the way you want to be. Any slight at all from a store clerk to a waiter can make some people indignant. How dare they lower my serotonin like that? The nerve. We call them divas. Let's look at the attention obsessed in Hollywood. Talk about serotonin junkies. It's an ego on steroids. When a famous person stops getting attention, it can throw them into an E! Hollywood story of tragedy. They are totally addicted and will put themselves on some ridiculous reality show for attention. As the public, we look on and say we're disgusted by their arrogance and childlike need for attention, Yet we read everything about them. But why? Do we feel somehow connected to them, making us feel special? Or do we deep down want to see their life a mess so we don't feel so inferior to them? Only your serotonin knows. But to question their obsession, to cling to the next light bulb, is like you wondering why an alcoholic needs to keep drinking. After being in the spotlight for a couple of years, they have a higher tolerance for serotonin, so they need more. And when they are not getting it, their brain will cause them to chase anything to get them back in the spotlight and get their next fix. Even if it means getting arrested for driving naked. It's not the attention they want, just the serotonin they need. So how do us common people do it? Well, we may seek our own spotlight, like I said, by bragging or gossiping. We all know that one person you can't tell stuff to. And we have all been that person at one time who had the juice everyone was dying to hear. Do you remember what that felt like? It is powerful to know something others don't. Bragging we have all done, whether on purpose or inadvertently, after a few drinks. Most of us try to control that urge, but it is always there, trying to raise us above the crowd, ensuring a higher social position, which our brain thinks it needs to survive. However, bragging is like a built-in instinct that, in modern day, can actually reduce our social standing. Evolution just hasn't caught up yet. Anytime we feel left out or discounted, it will trigger our amygdala to sound the alarm that we are in danger, causing our serotonin to wane. And that is a really icky feeling, like when you're not asked to go out to lunch with friends or not included in some meeting at work. Exclusion is almost unbearable for human beings, so much so that it is considered one of the most painful forms of punishment, as so many teen suicides have shown us. For some, the fear of rejection or exclusion is too much, and they will preempt that pain by doing everything they can to move away from any pursuit of recognition or being a part of a group, claiming they have no need for status or attention or inclusion. When teenagers do this, it can spell disaster, as the loneliness can be too much to bear. That urge for serotonin never goes away. Now, as adults, they may mask that desire in maybe pushing their children to excel beyond what they are capable, or buying that Coach bag or expensive car, or maybe by posting endless photos on Facebook of their vacation. At least that's a really safe way to feel a little superior without feeling that you could be rejected. Although some people experience tremendous rejection when their posts don't get likes on Facebook. I hear that often as well. Now, you can see serotonin craving in any organization, like PTAs and school boards, politics, businesses, and even churches. What, you thought they were immune? In any of these, you will see suck-ups and control freaks chasing the serotonin to feel better about themselves. And I can't tell you how many times I'll hear the people around them saying, "I'm so glad I don't have that need." But the truth is, by making that statement and separating yourself from that behavior is a way for you to get your serotonin. So to summarize, activities that produce serotonin are pursuing status at work, owning nice cars, being rich, complaining and getting others to join in, owning fancy cars, collecting things of beauty, fixing up your home, or throwing parties. Now next, there is the oxytocin lover, literally. Oxytocin is the hormone of love, trust, bonding, hope, and healing. Oxytocin is released upon childbirth and when nursing, all with the purpose of creating a bond. It is released after having sex and during cuddling, which enhances trust and allows bonds to form with significant others. It's why we have pets. Oxytocin enables us to read facial expressions, and children with autism or Asperger's are found to be slightly deficient in oxytocin, causing them to have difficulty in reading other people's faces. Some people with a deficiency of oxytocin can also be paranoid and not trusting. An oxytocin-driven person may be prone to cheating or flirting when feeling lonely. Loneliness is a death sentence to them. This person may have several pets, and they may really enjoy being around little kids, as children are great at giving back. People who join gangs are a prime example of children who are trying to fill their need for oxytocin as well as serotonin. The more discerning human beings might join groups like organized crime. Now, I'm Italian, and I can tell you that their violence is often overlooked for the sense of belonging, bonding, and power. Of course, we are once again faced with trying to maintain these wonderful feelings. To do that, we might climb into a hot tub, have sex, or get a massage. But after a while, that buzz calms down too, which is kind of a good thing because otherwise you might never come out of the hot tub, you may never get off the massage table, and you might never stop having sex, which might kill you. The sense of trust that we experience from oxytocin is not limited to just those that we are close with, but even on a minor level around those we work with, which is why we won't walk out the door the minute we feel betrayed. It keeps us there kind of trying to work things out. Programs like AA are so powerful because of the oxytocin generated in the connectivity between members. So the next time life has got you on pins and needles, be sure to reach out for the puppy to play with or care for. Find an infant that you can hold and cuddle with. Ask for some loving from your significant other, and don't be afraid to get as many hugs as you possibly can. A 20-second hug releases oxytocin. However, you need some intimacy for oxytocin to release. Remember, intimacy is into me, see. So you will have to bring your own vulnerability to the table for this to work. Now, that's not easy to do when you're already feeling anxious, but it's well worth the risk. Oxytocin-driven people may pursue careers in working with children, volunteering, counseling, working with kids. Now, I know I've just given you a lot of information, but it's important what you do with that now. See, it's really important that you know what your mind is craving so you don't get your wires crossed and wind up buying a $70,000 car when all you needed to do was sign up on a dating site. It helps to be aware of how this drives our behavior on a daily basis, so you can figure out why you like to wait to the last minute to leave the house for an appointment, or why your better half would rather play a video game than read a book. Do you like a quiet evening with friends, or being at a loud stadium with screaming adults? In observing your behavior from this perspective, you will be able to objectively evaluate why certain patterns of behavior have been harder than others to control or break, or why you are so disciplined in some areas and not in others. It's time to take a good look at why you react a certain way around certain people or identify with an organization or movement. Can you handle the possibility that your allegiance with a political party or organization is simply because it makes you feel good? But be warned, any objectivity will be usurped by your fear of being wrong, because being wrong will feel like a chemical crisis brought on by a crash of all three neurochemicals. Heck, it's just easier to hold your ground. What about religion? Some people practice the same religion as their family, not because they believe the same way, but because they chose to follow in the tradition for the wonderful oxytocin connection they feel when they do. That was very common with my parents' generation. What sport do you like, if any? Some people love soccer instead of football. Others love baseball over basketball. These are wired into us in childhood through the connection we felt with family and friends who love them too. See, the reason why does not matter. What you need to remember is that the reason we do anything is to increase our survival, although all we are aware of is that it feels good. The connection you feel every day with your friends is because of oxytocin. The type of music you enjoy is also part of your past accidental experiences. When you first heard a certain type of music, you may not have liked it, but years later, the memory of that music causes serotonin and oxytocin to release. So now you feel happy when you hear it. I am pretty sure I would not listen to Frank Sinatra if my dad didn't grow up in Hoboken, deliver ice cream to Frank's mom, and listen to him throughout my childhood. When you hear someone blasting music, you can be pretty sure that they're either looking for attention, serotonin, or just an exciting dopamine buzz. Now, human beings are extremely social creatures. We are wired to connect. women even more than males. So disagreements are very stressful for us because that will interfere with our oxytocin levels. It is also why we love to be asked to join groups, even when it means parting with more time we don't have. But just as strong as our desire to be included is also our desire to be right, which is obvious in any religious or political group. And see, this is a really good reason to evaluate your stance on either. We have to be aware that being in agreement with a large, powerful group creates a powerful sense of superiority, and that pull is so strong it will obscure the facts of any argument. Every human being is prone to determine that their beliefs and opinions are facts, even though they just simply developed over time as they were in agreement with people they cared about and respected. So we don't like it when our cherished beliefs are challenged. It will cause us to feel a deficit of serotonin and dopamine, and we hate that. That's going to cause us to fight back and hold on even tighter to our assumptions, regardless of new information. And if you think you are immune to making decisions due to this pull of a chemical reward, then ask yourself, how many times have you said something at a party or a meeting that you later regretted? Either it was bragging, opinionated, rude, or insensitive. And the reason? You thought that comment would give you a hit from one of the big three. Either you wanted to be seen as witty, knowledgeable, insightful, bold, or confident, but it backfired because you couldn't see past your own need to feel good in the moment. That embarrassment later makes you feel worse than before you said anything. And all for that quick squirt. Can you imagine what you're doing to maintain that constant feeling? Now let's look at these three neurochemicals and how they can influence your career choice. Police officers often become cops due to the belief that it will be more exciting than sitting behind a desk. But what are they chasing besides criminals? Well, dopamine, of course. And then after an arrest is made, there is serotonin. It's the same process for firemen and many other careers. I am sure you can see the pattern. Now, what about you out there? Can you tell if your occupation was chosen based on your chemical bias? If your job does not cater to your bias, you may be very unhappy there. These little accidental experiences in childhood are what prepare the firefighters, police, and military personnel to do what they do. Even something as simple as learning how to ride a bike can determine whether or not you'll be fearful of new experiences or you'll look forward to taking them on. I know it might blow your mind to think you are still making everyday choices based on experiences you had as a kid, but these are the Stone Age instructions for reward handed down for thousands of years. Now, I don't know about you, but I really want a new instruction manual. These program instructions were based on an entirely different set of circumstances. Does my brain really need to think that bragging will ensure my survival? Well, fortunately, we can rewire our brain, as I teach about neuroplasticity in my book and on other broadcasts. And that's reflected in why some people don't brag or put others down or suck up to their bosses. They taught themselves that that is a really great way to get kicked out of the tribe, not reign supreme. It will benefit you greatly, not to mention be very entertaining, to scrutinize your motives from now on underneath your behavior to see what neurochemicals you are chasing. Eventually, you will be able to see their influence over your moods as they have you feeling confident one minute and cringing the next. But now you realize they won't last, which will help you disidentify with the emotional tides, making you more stable. Understanding these neurochemicals is just the beginning. Now you need to learn how to use them to your advantage to change behaviors and improve your mood. That's the whole crux of my book, 10 Seconds to Happy, due out this year. So the next time you hear someone bragging or screaming at their team on TV, send them this link. That's it for now. Be sure to check out all of my other broadcasts on iTunes or Facebook under the name 10 Seconds to Happy. You can also send me your questions or request an individual session to work through painful memories or find that evasive happiness. Till next time, you keep smiling.